We have been studying the property management software market for a couple of years and figured it would be good to check in with someone who recently worked at RealPage and Yardi, because they are two big players in the space. Could you tell me about your background, what facilitated the move from Yardi to RealPage, and why you ultimately decided to leave RealPage?
I started my career at Yardi. I worked there for over 10 years, moving up the ranks from entry level to director level, which included managing about 100 people who worked in the implementation, support, and customer success departments during that time. I also did some product and sales work, so I became familiar with the ups and downs of the business and all the details therein. I ended up leaving Yardi because, in this global economy, you cannot work for the same company forever. It had run its course. I switched companies and worked at a company unrelated to the property management industry between Yardi and RealPage. After working there for a year or so, I was recruited by RealPage to work in a role they deemed strategic. I would work with their largest clients, understand their business needs, and work as an internal advocate to fast-track their implementations and ensure they received white-glove support, which was something clients in the past felt they were lacking. I worked in that capacity for about 3 years. Then, due to the federal lawsuit brought against RealPage for price fixing, their sales started to face significant headwinds, which caused them to have a series of mass U.S. layoffs. This resulted in about half of their U.S.-based staff being let go over the course of a year.
Was that layoff across the board? Were there specific areas they were targeting? It is obviously private equity-owned, so there is probably a margin game being played, but maybe also something else there?
It was quite broad. The first layoff they had, they cut about 10 to 15% across every department. There was no real rhyme or reason to it. They kept reducing headcount, tried to reduce the headcount of higher-paid individuals, and worked their way to far fewer U.S. employees.
When you were saying that you were working with the largest clients, was that you being their account representative and trying to facilitate their needs? Or was that trying to onboard other large clients?
My role started after the sales team had engaged and confirmed the scope of their purchase. They purchased some number of products, and I would make sure that was the right size fit, then work with our internal teams to implement all of their package of tools in the most seamless manner. There were a lot of inefficiencies prior to my onboarding regarding different departments not communicating properly between each other, which resulted in slower implementations and implementations that asked similar questions. For example, the team doing accounting would ask for property address information. Then you would get on a call where we were talking about resident screening information, and the same questions were being asked about property address. The client would say, "Why are you asking the same question? You already have all of this information. I already provided it to RealPage as a whole." I was trying to streamline those efforts so that implementations could be done faster to start billing on those products faster, because the clients didn't actually start paying for those products until they were implemented and live. The faster they got implemented, the faster RealPage started billing for those and collecting money for them. At the same time, I worked in a technical aspect to make sure that the products communicated properly between each other and drove efficiencies in product feature sets for these clients. Because they were purchasing so many products, they wanted to make sure that all those products communicated internally together with data exchange and data sharing.
Was the focus on new customers that were being onboarded, or existing customers that were adopting new features or making changes?
It was both. It was any client that the executive team deemed strategic. That definition of what is strategic could vary. A lot of times it had to do with the bottom line. This client is buying $1 million worth of products, so they need all the care and feeding to make sure that everything goes perfect. It could also be a larger client that was adding some additional properties or products, and we wanted to make sure that their overall experience was perfect. It could also be clients that gave us a pilot property. A large client that has a large portfolio, but not with RealPage products, gives us one property to test out certain features and workflows in the system to see if their staff like it and if it is something they could see their entire company switching to. Those clients were deemed strategic because a small deal of $20,000 could lead to a deal of several hundred thousand dollars should we be successful in our implementation and product rollouts.
My understanding was that RealPage wasn't really adding net new large customers, in the sense that it is pretty difficult to win those because they are either on RealPage or Yardi. RealPage's tech investment under Thoma Bravo seems to have suffered a little bit. which probably made it more difficult to convince people to join the platform.
That second point you made about the tech stack under Thoma Bravo's leadership being a very low priority item is very true. The amount of technical debt that RealPage has is both astronomical and embarrassing. To your first point, these clients did exist. I worked with very large clients that had portfolios above 10,000 units, which was pretty substantial at the time.
You mentioned that the lawsuit obviously made things more difficult. We heard from people in the industry that quite a few people decided to leave RealPage as a result. What was your take on the state of RealPage in terms of their ability to win new customers and the problem of customers leaving following the lawsuit?
It is one thing for your vendor to get named in a federal price-fixing lawsuit. It is another for companies that use that vendor to get named in that lawsuit. The biggest fear for these property management companies is to get pulled into these lawsuits. I think that is the part that scared a lot of these clients and got them to try to move away from RealPage. However, before the lawsuit, RealPage had a huge internal initiative to lock in all of their clients for 3 to 5 year contracts. These multi-year contracts would then protect the outflow of those clients should they want to leave, making it more difficult for them to exit. It is already very difficult to exit and make a switch in the property management industry from one PMS software provider to another because of implementation and change management training. But the contracts made it even more difficult for them to leave. As those contracts rolled out into expiration and renegotiation stages, that is when those companies could start to think about an exit.
Would you assume that now that we are getting to the point where this 3 year and 5 year rolling periods probably hit that exit point, that customers are still eager to leave? Or was RealPage able to fix the relationship to the extent that some of the people who were maybe eager to leave will reconsider at this point?
I think as time goes on, they are more likely to let that pass. However, I think they are definitely hesitant to make a switch and hesitant to stay. There's a lot of gray area in that regard. I could see a lot of clients making an exit, but I could also see clients saying, we will protect ourselves by utilizing different feature sets that allow them to use the revenue management software in a protected way.
Who do you think they would be leaving to if they were leaving? And what would be the compelling point to leave to one of these other providers, other than the fact that they are not facing a lawsuit?
The two main competitors at that level would be Yardi and Entrata. Entrata has more modern software compared to Yardi and RealPage. It is a younger company. It has nicer, user-centric features and is a quality product that has been on the market for quite some time. The other key player and main competitor of RealPage is Yardi, which has been in the industry for as long, if not slightly longer than RealPage. They have more stability and have not been named in nearly as many lawsuits going forward and have a similar price point and a similar spread of advanced software and services that are available to them. They have a full catalog of products.
Was there any feedback on people saying Voyager is better than OneSite or vice versa? Or were there particular sticking points where people said Yardi's accounting is more robust, but RealPage has these other ancillary products that work better? What was the main feedback?
You are totally right about certain products being slightly better. People in the industry agree that Yardi's accounting is stronger than RealPage. There is a slight bias towards RealPage OneSite over Voyager. There's a strong opinion that RealPage revenue management tools are much stronger than Yardi's. On the whole, the feature set and workflows are generally similar. It boils down to people's prior experience and whether they use that software at a different job.
Did you see more people leave to Entrata or Yardi if they decided to leave?
The company did not advertise where these clients were going. It was not well known in public at the time where these clients were going specifically. We knew that there was an outflow. How big that outflow was not internally advertised. The part that became very apparent, though, that they could not hide was that the sales pipeline had dried up incredibly, so the growth targets were unattainable.
RealPage was taken private in 2021, so the last numbers we had for them was 2020, when they were still public, which was $1.15 billion in revenues. Would you say they grew substantially from there to now? Or do you think that outflow and lack of growth actually means that they have been treading water since then?
I think it has definitely gone up and is closer to the $2 billion mark. I do not think it has drastically grown the way that Thoma Bravo or the company had envisioned. That is why the company released the CEO a year ago and brought in a new CEO to try to change that mindset.
If you compare Yardi to RealPage in size, Is Yardi still bigger than RealPage today?
I believe so, yes. Yardi has been hitting their year-over-year growth targets, which tells me that it is not an industry-wide issue, but a RealPage issue. How is it that one competitor is hitting their sales targets and growing at the numbers they want, and another isn't? It is something specific to those competitors, not industry-wide. RealPage would like to say it is industry-wide, and that macroeconomic factors are slowing them down, but I wouldn't believe that.
If Yardi is $2.5 billion, what are they still trying to grow at? Is this a low single-digit grower, or are they aiming for much higher growth at this point?
10% is what they project and have been hitting year over year.
Is that from new customers, or pricing, or selling more stuff to existing customers? What is driving that at Yardi?
All of the above. There is an acquisition team working on acquiring outside companies to grow. There are efforts to increase sales on new logos, which is very difficult in this market and has been incredibly difficult for the last 5 to 10 years. There is also upselling their existing clients to sell them a diverse portfolio of products that they may not have yet. If that client is using Voyager, let's make sure they are using utility billing, our websites, revenue management, and insurance and maintenance products.
What was your sense for pricing both at RealPage and Yardi? I know that these price increases come sporadically, but would you say that on average they have taken 3% or 5%?
The pricing growth isn't that strong. It is the increase of products to sell to them. If you rewound the clock 15 years, there were only a handful of products being sold to these folks. Now RealPage and Yardi sell websites, CRM, maintenance, data analytics, BI tools, and even SharePoint integration. The overall spend is increasing with Yardi and RealPage as they develop more products to sell. It is not necessarily that the products that have already been sold got more expensive. They kept up with inflation. There are more products to sell, and the wallet share is much bigger.
If I sign a 3-year contract with Voyager or OneSite, is there not a 3% price escalator every year or on renewal?
Some contracts had it where it was attached to CPI inflation. They tried to attach the 3%. Sometimes it would get negotiated down, and sometimes it would be accepted. A lot of times clients would use it to say, hey, let's hold off on that 3% if I buy another product from you. Then they would purchase websites and try to negotiate it. There is a ton of gray area in the pricing, and a savvy negotiator on the client side can easily negotiate their way into not having to pay that inflationary increase.
Presumably, the customer who bought Voyager 10 years ago is paying more for Voyager per unit today than he was then, because there is also value added within the platform.
Absolutely, yes.
Usually, when you have such high switching costs, the way you do in property management, companies are in a position to take price because people aren't going to leave. And especially if everyone takes price, it is industry pricing.
Exactly. You are 100% right.
Coming back to Yardi briefly, what was the split between commercial and residential? And did you spend time on both, or were you on residential? Our understanding is that the commercial business seems to be nearly as big, if not bigger, than the residential business within Yardi.
I worked a little on commercial products, but mostly on residential. You are right. 15 years ago, commercial was not the primary growth focus. In the last 10 years, it has been the primary growth focus. They have put a tremendous effort into that suite of products for clients in Deal Manager, CRMs, and investor portals. They have been incredibly successful with their sales of those products.
Is it a very big chunk of the company now?
It is not quite as large as the residential side, but it is approaching it. It also depends how you categorize the residential side. If you said it was strict multifamily, then it might be very close. Once you add in student housing, public housing, affordable housing, and military housing, which are more residential focused, then the residential side overpowers the commercial side.
Who is the main competitor? Is that MRI? Or who is relevant on the commercial side?
It is much smaller players, MRI being one of them. MRI tools work, and they have some legacy reputation that is strong, but they cannot compare with the suite of products Yardi has, especially if they have a mixed portfolio or they are looking for advanced products.
You mentioned Entrata and Yardi. Did AppFolio ever come up? I know they are focused on the smaller end of the market, but they are trying to move up market. I am curious to what extent you guys were aware of them or cared about them at all.
Everyone in the industry knows that AppFolio is trying to move up market with their solutions. both on the commercial and residential sides. I don't see them. They don't have the reputation yet to be able to utilize these larger clients. I think they are trying to claw their way in and break through there, but I don't think they are a major player yet.
I would love to get your thoughts on Elise AI, to the extent that you have any.
When I get on these calls, people ask me about Elise AI all the time. The folks on that side of the phone tend to think that Elise AI is this huge competitor in the industry. It is quite small compared to Yardi, RealPage, and Entrata. Elise AI is a minnow in the ocean, a tiny fish. They may have some products that look nice, but I don't think they are a major player. I think they exist in the ecosystem and have a nice product. But it is only a matter of time before Yardi and RealPage see that product and say, we can integrate a bunch of those features into our existing set of products and dominate in that sense.
Have you seen that yet? We heard that everyone is trying to build a leasing AI function. We heard that Yardi might be making theirs free as part of Voyager. Have you seen anything in the industry with regard to people launching their own competitors there?
What is hard about AI is that everybody wants to put an AI name on everything. AI is the buzzword beyond buzzword, so everybody puts AI on it. This is the reporting AI. It is some automated portion of it where you can schedule things. So much of AI is marketing versus what it does. It is difficult to tell when clients say, this is our AI, because it is not always AI. It is really good search capabilities. That makes it tough to determine whether Yardi, RealPage, or Elise AI are able to do it. I don't have strong confidence that when people say AI in the property management industry, it is AI. I think they are trying to get there, but they are not there yet. They are all trying to meet that industry requirement to add agentic AI to leasing, especially after-hours leasing. There used to be a product that Yardi sold, a call center. RealPage also did it. It was popular where they could take after-hours calls, holiday calls, or calls when there was too much call volume, and they would act as the staff. They would have scripts that would go through and say, thank you for calling the Aspens. Here's our availability. Here's how big the pool is. Now that can all be done with an AI chatbot. I think that is still far from being successful and replacing leasing agents.
One of the things we noticed is, and Elise AI is the symbolic case here, these AI products are sitting on top of the big platforms like Yardi and RealPage and get access to them by API. Do you think that Yardi, RealPage, and Entrata are considering reducing that access or making it more difficult for someone else to leverage the data that sits within their platform?
The way that Yardi and RealPage do that is via very specific controlled interfaces. Yardi can control what data elements are shared and how they are shared, so that they can control the data exchange via an ETL or some sort of connection. Yardi can clamp down on what they want to share and what they don't want to share. They could easily try to slow down Elise AI or third-party competitors that are trying to do it. At the same time, that same data is shared via interfaces all the time, whether it be reporting or tenant information. There are so many data exchanges that are possible. As long as they use the Yardi interface and pay the Yardi interface pricing, they can continue to play in that market. But Yardi could shut them out at any time for any reason.
Would you expect them to? Or do you think they are fine with someone else monetizing on top of them?
I don't think they are thrilled about it, which is why Yardi monitors their interfaces and the market very well. If they see that Elise AI is starting to take off, they can try to pare back that interface or not enhance the interface so that their product shines a little bit brighter compared to Elise AI. They have some tweaks they can make there, but they try to leave those interfaces alone. The gold standard is to set it up and not touch it, so that the third-party interfaces can utilize that data and have some stability there. What it would boil down to is you are already looking at it and saying, is Elise AI a real competitor? And are they hurting us in any way or reducing our market share? If they are, they can utilize their own internal resources to come up with a competitive product to that and try to beat Elise AI on price or on feature set.
It will probably be price.
Probably, at least to start, because they are behind on feature set. Elise AI has been delivering this toolset longer than Yardi and RealPage have.
You mentioned that RealPage has a mountain of tech debt, which was always known because it was a roll-up. But how would you describe the tech stack of Yardi? Did you feel like they had a lot of tech debt? And do you think that there might be a disadvantage to having that tech debt now that you are trying to add new AI features that might need a more modern architecture underneath it?
There is not nearly as much technical debt at Yardi. There is some. In any software company, there is going to be some, but it is not nearly as obvious as it is at RealPage. At RealPage, it is obvious to the customer. That is how obvious the technical debt is. RealPage has been acquiring companies, then stitching them together and selling the products right out of the gate. Every time they make an acquisition, the Yardi team lets the ecosystem of that newly acquired product exist for quite some time, then works on the technical debt to integrate it into the overall tech stack. The catch, though, is that the Yardi team loves to have internal tools to do all of it. There are pros and cons to that. They cannot do it quite as quickly, and everything follows the same model. But all that data exists in the same spot. With that data all existing in the same spot inside the Yardi database, it is much easier for clients to write reports. For the Yardi development team to run their reports, for them to access data from other modules is much easier. That is one of the reasons why people love working with Yardi. There is so much less technical debt as long as you play nice in their ecosystem and understand their proprietary methodology.
Their way of working?
It is not just the way they are working, but their proprietary methodology of scripting, running reports, and ETLs. If you understand one aspect of it for one product, you will understand it for all their products. That doesn't exist for RealPage because it is different systems, different databases, and they don't offer the same access.
From speaking to customers over the years, we always heard that Yardi works, and it is robust, but it is quite clunky and the UI is difficult to use. It takes a lot of training for people to get up to speed on that.
That is true.
Do you think that is just the way it is, and they are content to keep it that way?
They are not trying to fix or change that. They are trying to change the way the interface works. You can do a move-in in Voyager, and to your point, you need to have that training. It is clunky and feels like it is written in 2001, even though we are in 2026. But once you understand that it looks kind of ugly and old, it works. They're now trying to do is put these newer software interfaces on top of it and allow folks to do their job with these other interfaces. They will use a CRM system on top of the Voyager system so that those leasing agents use the CRM tools and not Voyager, which looks like it was written in 2001. They're not replacing Voyager or changing the infrastructure, but simply changing the way that we, as the human, interface with the software into a more modern look.
Do you think there is risk that they are layering new interfaces onto old technology?
I am not expert enough to be able to say one way or the other. They have been doing it for over 20 years with the same Voyager database architecture in place. They have been adding these new ways to access the data, whether it is interfaces for BI, data analytics, reporting, mobile apps, CRM systems, or behind-the-scenes third-party data sharing. The infrastructure has held up quite well, and they have been able to add these new ways to exchange the data and interface with it in a more clean way. I would say they have succeeded in it.
Given the layoffs RealPage had and that focus on profitability, how would you say that compares to the focus on profitability at Yardi? Was it extremely profitable? Was there less of a focus on profitability? Were there specific margin targets that they would espouse?
Yardi is owned by one individual, the founder. It is believed that there are not any other co-owners or debt in the company. It is one guy who is obviously a multi-billionaire. He is focused on growth rather than annual revenue. He is more than willing to play the long game and have a product that doesn't succeed in the first few years and ride it out. He is not held by shareholder interest, so he can do what he wants. His attitude is growth instead of profits. When I worked at Yardi, total growth and revenue was shared with employees, but profits never were. The company had $2 billion in annual revenue and could have been making $10 or $1 billion in profit. Nobody knows, and it was not made public to the team.
Would you say it was frugal compared to where RealPage was? If you look at the number of people at RealPage today versus what you saw at Yardi, how did that compare?
It is smartly managed, don't get me wrong. The ownership and leadership is adept. They understand the market and the staffing level of support required. It is simply a different mentality. There is no pressure on sales to hit certain targets.
I don't know whether it is salaries or bonuses or number of people on a team trying to accomplish a task. If you can compare that like for like to Yardi, was there a larger sense of frugality and focus on cost at RealPage? Or was Yardi kind of the same?
Many employees went back and forth between the two companies in the same industry. The talking points were that Yardi's benefits were significantly better than RealPage's benefits, and I saw this firsthand. The salaries were stronger at RealPage for US-based employees. However, the attitudes towards employee retention and employee satisfaction were all in the pro column for Yardi, and in the con column for RealPage. It was well known that people would get let go at RealPage. It is not very common for people to get let go at Yardi. They would get reassigned to other products at Yardi, whereas at RealPage, they would do a layoff.
Would you say that bad people stayed at Yardi as a result?
No, I did a lot of letting go of people that weren't a great fit at Yardi. I think it is a scale. How quick would companies be loyal to employees? There was no loyalty at RealPage. There was loyalty at Yardi.
How would you describe the culture at Yardi?
They want to portray it as this benevolent founder who is an immigrant that came to the US, succeeded, and built this company. Growth, growth, growth mindset, and it is happy. The company grew so well. At the same time, it is a business. There are things that take place that are not exactly the nicest. In general, as far as companies go, it is a positive workplace. I think people like working there. On the RealPage side, it is, this is the corporation you work for. This is what you are supposed to be doing. Keep your head down. Don't cause trouble. The company will kick you out if you disagree and try to make sure that the product you work on is successful. Otherwise, your whole department is going to get dumped.
That doesn't sound good.
No. The catch on it is that that culture exists, and they are trying to fight it tooth and nail. But with Thoma Bravo or any investor group in charge, they are looking for immediate profitability to the company. Executives and sales are running scared because they have to hit their targets, or they know they will miss out on their bonuses. The smart people will leave. There's this constant fear and ongoing brain drain at RealPage. It is quite scary for the folks that are still there.
Yardi recently announced that Anand is handing off the CEO role to a new CEO. Do you have any view on that? His children are in the company. Do you know what role they had there?
They handed it off to a new CEO, Rob, who has been there quite some time. He was my first boss when I started, and he is a fantastic leader who knows the industry inside and out. He has residential and commercial experience. He has been working primarily on the commercial side and overseeing growth there. They refer to it as international or something like that. He has been overseeing that side of the business, which has grown immensely. It was no surprise when they made that announcement. It was more a shock in the sense of Anand is finally releasing some of the control rather than who he chose. Of the family members that work there, there are two sons. One of them is not a seeker of fame and fortune. He is more of a calm back office, get stuff done tech kind of guy. He is the older brother and is calm, cool, and collected. The younger brother is more of the front-facing one and wants to be in the executive conference room. I don't think he has that presence beyond his name. If he didn't have the same last name, I don't think he would be in the position he is in. That is why the current owner decided to go with a non-relative successor. There are also two nephews who work there that are high up in the company and are well-respected and taking over more responsibility. I would foresee one of the nephews taking over before the sons.
Are they more respected than the sons?
The calm son is well respected, but he would be the first to say, I don't want that kind of responsibility. When I worked with him, he used to sit next to me, and he wouldn't sign his emails Jason Yardi. He would sign them Jason Y, because he didn't want people to instantly recognize that he was a Yardi. The younger one appears to want that larger spotlight on him. I think he is respected because of his name, not because of what he has done. People like him because of his name, and they know who he is, not necessarily because of what he has done or his ideas or leadership. Of the nephews, one is more technical. He is respected, but probably won't take over. The other nephew, who has worked for the company longer, I would foresee playing an even larger role. He has the social IQ to be able to meet with executives and run the business, and is more well-rounded, in my opinion.
What is his name?
Akshay Rao.
I want to switch gears briefly to one other big topic, which is payments. There was this big decision for Yardi to stop charging for ACH. At the same time, I think they still charge for their tenant portal. So effectively, people are still paying something for tenants that are paying by ACH. Can you walk me through your thoughts on that decision, why they decided to stop charging, how that impacted them financially, if at all, and if they are still charging for the portal access?
I don't know a ton about it, but I can tell you my thoughts and insights, because I was at RealPage when they made that announcement, and it made RealPage scratch their heads. The payments portion of Yardi and RealPage is extremely profitable. There's so much money moving, billions of dollars in rent payments through these sites. Even a tiny fee adds up quickly. I think they made the decision as a fear response. If you remember, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there was a task force at the White House to try to reduce fees. It was after the Ticketmaster fees. People were getting mad about that. I think people were starting to look at the fees associated with paying your rent online. Having high rent prices is an easy target for both sides politically in the U.S. to point their finger at and get mad about. I think it was almost a gut reaction, like, let's try to find a way to cut these fees. It will hurt the bottom line, but it will make us look better. It will give us a ton of credibility in the market, and we can still make money off credit card fees. They probably weren't making a ton off ACH, so they could drop that fee and look like winners for their clients, and by extension, the tenants as well. They could get any political pressure off their back so they could say, look, we are offering a fee-free portion. We are an industry leader in that sense. They can use that as a marketing pitch to their clients at the same time.
Do you have any opinion on Bilt?
Is that like walk-in payments?
No, that was a special credit card that offered certain benefits that didn't work economically, and now they are undoing it effectively.
I don't know a ton about it.
The other thing I briefly wanted to touch on is this interesting dynamic that oftentimes the property managers don't actually pay for the software, because it is either charged to the owners and a large part is paid by the tenants. The third component we heard about more recently is that for these very large accounts, the banks sometimes pay for the software because they are so eager to have large property managers as customers. Is this something you have heard about, and to what extent did that impact your thinking when it came to setting prices or charging, given the fact that the person who is effectively buying the software isn't paying for it?
I have not heard about the banks trying to leverage certain software providers. That is new to me. When I worked at RealPage, I did work for our institutional clients, meaning big funds that had a lot of leverage and could come in and say, we want all of our assets to be run in certain property management software. They could then force their property managers to use RealPage for consolidated reporting and workflows and get a discount on volume to be able to say, all of our portfolio is with RealPage, so therefore give us a better discount. That was something I worked on. On paper, it sounds really good. In reality, the property managers want to control that themselves. They don't want someone else to tell them what software they need to use, so it wasn't super successful. I had not heard about banks necessarily dictating it. I know that Bank of America and Wells Fargo were Yardi customers back then for the assets that they owned, and they used the software for that. I hadn't heard about them trying to capture the transactional and cash balances by dictating Yardi or RealPage.
It was less about dictating. It was more like they are making an incentive play to say, you use Yardi, Yardi charges you, $4 or $5 per unit per month. We will offer some type of kickback arrangement that we will end up paying for the software. And as a result, you do your work with our bank. Because obviously, with these payment flows and deposits and everything, a large property manager is a very good client for a bank.
I could see that being successful, but I haven't seen it in reality. At the same time, I didn't work on that sales portion at either company, so I couldn't say specifically. It could be happening, and I just wasn't aware of it.
The last topic I briefly wanted to touch on is resident benefit packages. Do you have any view on those? What was the adoption rate? Do you think we are early to this? It seems to be more relevant now.
I was there when they launched Loft, which is a series of 4 different products covering leasing, communication, and loyalty, among other things. That loyalty portion can be strong to encourage folks to use their platform to make payments. The rewards they're having to pay out are minimal. RealPage was eating the cost of all the rewards and loyalty as a selling feature. That is how low the expense was to them. Anytime you can set up these reward systems, people will be interested. It is not going to make someone move into an apartment complex, but it might encourage them to pay their rent online with the fees or to make their payments on autopay and have less friction with the property management office for payments, checks, and work that needs to be done to follow up on collections. I see it as a win. There are many models for Yardi and RealPage to look at for loyalty rewards, whether it is airlines, hotels, Burger King, fast food restaurants, or grocery stores, and try to leverage the same kind of perks that are there. I see it as a strong opportunity for them to increase their adoption of their payment portals and therefore make money on the transactions.
Do you think there is an opportunity to also sell tenants more things? One of the things that keeps coming up frequently is group rate internet, filter exchanges, pest control, all these kinds of services that are effectively ancillary.
They have been trying to do that for some time, but it hasn't been that successful. Folks get overwhelmed by all of the different choices they need to make when they move. They can play some ads for certain companies or preferred vendors for internet, cleaning services, or move-in, move-out services. But I haven't seen it be successful. It has been talked about a ton, but to me it seems very small, very distant. And I don't foresee it being successful. I don't think they are going to want to sell ads for moving companies or preferred vendors of moving companies. I don't see tenants or property managers wanting that. If I was a resident, I'm not going to want to get pitched ads for moving services or whatever it is. I want to go on and pay the rent and be done with it. I'm going to get annoyed if there are constant ads. I think they can make more money on the payments and having a user-friendly app than they will on making $5 because they showed ads for the internet company. It is one thing to sell ads for folks that are looking to make a transaction. You want to sell ads on Google because someone Googled internet providers. That is a well-placed ad because someone is ready to make a purchase. People are going on that app to look for a new unit, maybe to upgrade to a two-bedroom, or to pay their late fees, pet deposits, rent, or reserve the community space. No one is going there to look for internet providers. I don't think that is a source of information that people go to. If you add ads there, the reaction will be, "I wasn't even looking for that. Why are you giving me an ad for it?"
That could be disruptive.
If Yardi and RealPage keep it clean, I think they will be better off because then people will want to use the app, set it up, put it on autopay, and use the app for loyalty interests. And I think they can benefit from it there.